give you a little map of where I want to go today. We're going to take communion in just a minute. That was beautiful. I've heard that song, "To You We Turn Our Eyes." I've heard that song so many times, but for some reason right now it's just sweet. And I don't know. It's just magnificent right now for some reason. So, I don't know. So here's where I want to go. We're going to be here. Psalm 119, 137, 38. We're going to talk about a couple verses. There are three big rocks we need to see. And then we're going to take communion, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to finish the psalm, and that'll be it. So, Jesus, to you we turn our eyes, our glory and our prize. There is no time like the present that we need to turn our eyes to Jesus and Jesus alone. You need to be getting your information and your direction. Your conscience needs to be guided. Your mind needs to be engaged by Jesus and Jesus alone right now, in these days. And I don't mean some flowery little emotional kind of thing. I mean based on and grounded in the Word of God, in a true relationship with Jesus Christ, in truth. If you turn your eyes to the 6 o'clock news, you're in trouble. Please understand that. If you turn your eyes to the 6 o'clock news, and I don't care what station, you're in trouble. And you will take the mark. Because they're not going to paint it like I'm going to paint it and like the Word of God paints it. They're going to paint it as necessary and good and right and beautiful for all humanity. You have to do this. Please understand that. They will convince you if you aren't anchored in the Word of God. If He alone is not your glory and your guide, you're in trouble. If you don't know your Word of God, if you're not in it regularly, digging, learning, you are in trouble if that day comes while we are here. You have no strength or nothing to anchor and to build your spiritual muscle, and they are convincing. I am begging you with every bit of my fibrish, nasty little self, get in the Word of God. It's not too late. Get in it. Get in it. The 6 o'clock news will take you down a path you don't want to go. The next news conference will take you down a path, and that's not a political side statement. That could come from any side. Please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Be in the Word of God. Let it be your anchor and your guide. Psalm 119, verse 137 and 138. Let me read those two verses. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. Stop. Let's just stop. So the letter, you see it there, it's in your Bible, T-S-A-D-H-E or something very close to that. Zade. Okay, here's the letter, Zade. It sounds like T-S or even close to Z, Zade. You've probably everybody's heard the word bar mitzvah. Mitzvah. It almost sounds Z-ish, it's T-S, mitzvah. But where this sade is, you have this sound here, something like that. And it means or represents righteous or just. And so the word, the key word from that is tzaddik. Tzaddik. I'd like to hear a Jewish dude say that. Tzaddik. And it means righteous or just. And so you can see in our passage, I've looked up every word there in the Hebrew to find out where the tzades are. And they're really all over here, and they're not even just in the words righteous, although righteous is in here quite a bit. There's other words that have the tzade in it. And so it would be really interesting for a Jewish dude to read this. I'd like to hear all the tzades in there. But the primary meaning of this message, this thought today, is righteous or just of God. God is righteous and just. So look with me if you would. Verse 137. See where it says, righteous, tzaddik, righteous are you, O Lord. Right? So we know we're going to say the Lord is righteous, and His word, look at there, see what it says, is right. And right are your rules. Just another synonym as the author does it for God's word, His rules, His decisions, His word. So those two things we know. And then He says, you have appointed your testimonies in righteousness. So before we take communion, I want us to just think about what He's just said in two verses, what this author has just said. The Lord is righteous. He is just. And this has a bit of a flavor of like a courtroom decision. I mean, it's final. Doesn't have to be a courtroom setting. But this is a decision by God. This is a position of God. It's final. It's courtroom final. The Lord, our God, is righteous or just. Because it's the word is translated both ways. Righteous or just. Old Testament and New. The Lord is. If you were to stand before a judge and it was God, He Himself is righteous and just. No question. Everything He does, everything in His character, everything in His nature, everything about this person, and now in the form of Jesus, everything about Him is absolutely righteous or just. That's good to know. That's our God. That's amazing. My God is completely in His character. There is not a speck of anything in our God that is not righteous and just. Nothing. Nothing unfair. Nothing kind of fine print. He is righteous and He is just absolutely. And His word then is. His word is. Everything about the Bible you hold in your hand, every one of His rules, His decisions, His declarations, His precepts, every single one is absolutely righteous and just. Think about that. Nothing in here that's not. That's a huge statement. Are you in? Are you with me? How many of are you on board with me? Yes? No? Yes. Yes. Micah? Yes. Okay. Yes. Are you in with me? All right. Stan, you're in with me. Everything is righteous and just right here. No question. No wonder to you alone we lift our eyes. That's it. His character, righteous and just, has certainly determined His word, His decisions, has certainly then influenced everything He said then, because He is righteous and just. His character cannot and will not ever proclaim, make a decision that is not righteous and just. Everything here is righteous and just. You know this. You take a person who's kind of crooked, little slick, and everything he says, you've got to, like, is that really what they meant? Is that really what it is? I mean, well, maybe kind of, does that half? Not with God. You never have to worry about that. You never have to worry about His word. 100%, top to bottom, righteous and just, because He is and He couldn't. There's one more. There's one more. He's appointed. He's appointed His word in righteousness and in all faithfulness. The appointing of it, the giving of it, was appointed. His word in all righteousness, He gave it. He handed it to us in the Old Testament and the New, however it came. Hebrews 1 says, in days gone by, He spoke through the prophets, but now He's spoken through the Lord Jesus, His Son, right? So He handed it off to us, appointed it here for this day and this time, and for you and for me and for the Old Testament and for New Testament. He appointed it. He said, here, here. And we have it. And He did that justly. You can feel confident that the Bible you hold in your hand was given to you by the righteousness and justness of God. He is, His rules are, and He handed it to us, to His people, made in the image of God. He gave it to us in total righteousness and justness. So let's look at a couple scriptures and let this sink in, because you know them in the New Testament, but I don't know if you knew that the Old Testament says the same thing. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Some of you may recognize this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. God is righteous. His word is righteous, totally just. And He appointed it that way. All Scripture is breathed out by God, doesn't get any more appointed in righteous than that. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Huh? What do you know? In righteousness, it is profitable that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Complete. You and me, I'm not so impressive, right? But you and me, we can be complete. Complete. Right here. Because God is righteous and He appointed it. It says He breathed it out. I mean, you don't get any more accurate and perfect and beautiful than that. He breathed it out. He appointed it here. gave it to his apostles, gave it to his prophets, Old Testament, whatever it is, however he did it, through the Holy Spirit, in righteousness and justice. Now, in our psalm, it says, he appointed his testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. See that? See that little second part? And in all faithfulness. And that word means it's reliable, it's stable, trustworthy. You get what I'm saying, right? His word was appointed, given out in all righteousness, justness, and reliability or trustworthiness. You can trust. You can trust it. He gave it, he breathed it out, and you can trust it. It's stable. It's not going anywhere. That's awesome. So all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable, useful, stable, reliable, trustworthy, for teaching, for reproving, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. So we can be trained. We can be taught. We can be scolded, reprimanded, confronted, and corrected, put on a right course of His righteousness, the Lord's righteousness, by His righteous rules and His righteous appointing, breathing them out. They were given accurately, faithfully, righteously, and reliably. Count on it. Old Testament, Psalm 119, and New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, just a little bit farther. 2 Peter. On the screen, 2 Peter 1:16. Some things to pay close attention to in this portion I'm going to read. If you're with me so far, and this is your Lord and your God and His Word and His ability, His appointing, ordaining of His words, of His rules, if you're with me so far, if this is what you believe, stay with me here. This passage is key. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, the Father Himself, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain." This is first person. And, verse 19, New Testament saints, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all," know this first of all, "that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was appointed. It was never produced by the will of man, ever. Let no one ever tell you, we have this, it came from men. It was never that way. It was appointed, given, God breathed, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke into men. And it's more sure now than it ever was, Peter says. And we will do ourselves so much good by paying full attention to it. There's no interpretation of Scripture. And there's no giving of it, it says. No prophecy comes from someone's own interpretation, and no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. So it's not someone, Peter, Paul, Old Testament, they didn't kind of have to interpret the sun and the moon and the stars and the angles, and there wasn't this great thing, this code, anything that had to be figured out or deciphered. It was plain, it was clear, and Peter uses as his example, I heard the voice. I heard it from heaven. There's no question. This wasn't produced by man. And it's not interpreted by some guy up on a mountain. We have to go climb up and get the meaning of this scripture. We don't. It's right here for us to understand. For us to be trained in righteousness, corrected, reproofed in righteousness, for us to live and grow into the righteousness of Christ. That's the Word of God we hold in our hand. It's true. And it's reliable, it's trustworthy transmission of it. God's big enough to do that. He can create a universe. He can hand His Word to His creatures in all righteousness and reliability. It's safe. And we will do so well to pay attention to it. Turn your eyes to Jesus and His Word. Turn off the 6 o'clock news and walk with Jesus. And I'm scared to death. There are people sitting in churches today living in front of that television set waiting for them to make another pronouncement. What should I do? What should I do? Take this mark! Quick! For the sake of mankind. And they have no relationship with Jesus Christ through His Word, and they're going to take it. And they're going to look at you like, man, why aren't you playing the game? Why aren't you coming along with us? This is good. No, you can trust our government. You can trust science. You can trust this. You can trust that. And I'm not saying trust one party or the other. I'm not. None are my God. None are my Word. None are mine. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Pay close attention to this. So many have already gone off the track and followed and bought every single word they've said. I am begging you on the righteous character of God and the righteous rules of God and the righteous handing it to us of God. You have what you need in the Word of God. You really do. He will pull you into Himself when you pay close attention to the Word of God. He will draw you into Himself. and tell you what you need to know, keep you safe, and even make you fruitful in this weird, weird time. Weird, weird time. You have no more valuable resource than the Word of God. Not even close. Not even close. The righteousness of God. Man, just let it soak. Let it soak. Let it soak. He is completely 100% righteous. And He wants us to follow Him and to grow into it. So, would anyone want to volunteer to hand out these COVID cups? We're still doing COVID communion. Any believer, you're welcome. You're welcome. You don't got to be a member of this church. Any believer is welcome to take communion with us. What I'm going to do when these are all handed out, you pull back the top, very top layer, if you're not used to these, and pull out that very delicious, transparent, kind of plastic-looking wafer. But I'm not done teaching us, and I'm not at all done teaching us about the righteousness of God. So before we take any of this element, I'm going to read more scriptures. Mark doesn't have them. I didn't give them to him on purpose. I just want you to listen. Thank you, brother. I'm going to peel this baby back and get my wafer there. Ooh, that looks so good. We're just thinking about the righteousness of God, and somebody is texting me in church. Okay. It's a prayer request. The righteousness of God. Righteousness of God. Righteousness of God. Okay? You with me? Listen, listen as I read. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel. Jesus, born of a virgin, lived a totally righteous life, died unjustly at the hands of the Roman government and the Jewish governmental leaders, died on a cross for our sins, to pay completely for our sins, every one, every speck. He alone is righteous to do that. Was buried and rose again. Rose again the third day. And God said, yes, good. That is good. Rise. And He rose. Come out of the grave. Angels rolled the stones away. He ascended into heaven. And He sits at God's mighty right hand, waiting for those who believe, who trust His righteousness. And this says, I am not ashamed of that gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In the gospel, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is revealed Beginning with faith and ending with faith. That's what that means. From faith to faith. Beginning with faith and ending with faith. Starting with faith all the way through to the end. Faith for the just, the righteous, those made righteous, will live. We will gain our eternal life and we will live growing into the image of Christ. We live in God by faith. The just will live by faith. If you've been justified, your life now lives by faith. You have life in you by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Did you know it is right? It is just, 100% just, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, Jew or Greek, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what color you are, what nationality you are, what ethnicity you are. By the way, there's only one race. It's the human race. That language is totally misconstrued. There is only one race of people. It's a human race. There are many nationalities. There are many ethnicities. There are many colors. There are many neighborhoods. Every single one. Every single one. Because God said it's righteous. This is righteous. Every single person. Your sins are paid for there. Because God is righteous and just and said, that's how we're going to do it. That is right. I will do it. I will send my son to die for your sins. That is his righteousness. It's revealed. It was there in the Old Testament. It was always there in the Old Testament. They were always pointing to the prophets, the law, always pointing to the blood. Always pointing to the sacrifice, always pointing forward to that Savior. And they had faith in that. And they were made righteous. I don't care what you say about the cross. That's God's righteousness. He says that's right, that's just. I hope that's plenty for you. You don't have to work any longer. Worry any longer. Wonder any longer. Have I been good enough? Because the righteousness of God said, you can't, but my son will die and you will be completely washed. That is just. So it is righteous for Jesus to die on the cross. For the wrath of God, you heard me, the wrath, our God is wrathful. He has wrath in him, in his righteousness, in his love, in his being, in his character, there is wrath. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. They take this and they suppress it. They push it down. They manipulate it. They turn from it. They're careless with it. They don't really care that much about it. They manipulate it. They change it. They pay little attention to it. And his wrath will be revealed. You know this passage in Romans chapter 1. He gives them over to lusts of their heart, of impurity, to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Since they didn't see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind. So their hearts, their passions, and their minds are all given over to do what ought not to be done. And they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, all kinds, evil, covetousness. That just means I want what you got. Covetousness, I really want what you got. Malice, they are full of envy and murder. Envy, murder. They're both unrighteousness. Ever envied someone? Strife, deceit. That wasn't a big lie. It was just a little deceptive. But half-truth's a whole lie, right? Deceit is evil unrighteousness, maliciousness. They're gossips. Gossiping is evil unrighteousness. He gave them up. He gave them up. They can't control their mouth. They have to gossip. They have to talk. It's evil. Slanders. You ever talk bad about someone? Haters of God. Now wait a minute. These are all in the same bowl? Yes, they are. Insolent, haughty, boastful. You a bragger? You a boaster? You're in with the murderers. Inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Listen, though they know God's righteous decree, that's what we're talking about. These are all in righteousness, His character, His rules, given to us in righteousness. They know that. Though they know God's righteous decree, that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Never turn from righteousness. Never turn from God's righteous rules and decrees. Big or little in your mind. Envy or murder. Gossip or hating God. Never turn. Never turn from what He says is righteous and just. Never give in. Never give in. The gospel. The gospel. It's God's righteousness revealed. Because we're all sinners. In need of the cross. And He says it's just and right. Smack the gavel. That is righteous. Believe it. Trust it. And I will save you. Believe it. Trust it. And start a journey of righteousness in your body. Start a journey of being like Christ. Being transformed into His righteousness. He became sin. The one who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Declared over us righteous. Now we begin a journey of righteousness through His Word and His Spirit. A personal relationship. And it's right. It's righteous. This is just. This is going to court and it's just. Don't let anyone veer you off this course. This is it. For now and forever. So let's just start here. That represents the body of Christ broken for us, and it's just. That was the right thing for God to do, to forgive us of our sins. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifest or revealed or made known. Apart from the Old Testament law, although the law, Old Testament law, and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, this is right. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every one of us. And we are justified, there's our word, made righteous. We are justified in God's sight, innocent. We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. God put Jesus forward as a propitiation. When He rose from that grave on the third day, God said, satisfied. And that's what propitiation means. That is the satisfactory payment for my sins and for yours. Today, tomorrow, 10 years ago, 10 years from now, Jesus, according to God's righteousness, according to the judge, our Father, that is righteous. That is just. Here, Jesus, I put Him forward, and His blood is shed for your sins, for all who believe it. Any who believe it, any who trust it, any who go, yes. Yes, I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's me, and I can't. I need help. I need something. I need a gift. Okay, Jesus, would you step forward and die on the cross for their sins? That is right. God said it. God said it. It's righteous. It's His rules. It's His decrees. It's appointed. It's appointed for man wants to die. And then the judgment, right? It's appointed. And it's righteous. His wrathful judgment's coming and it's righteous. That's righteous. Hell is righteous. My salvation and yours by faith in that blood of Jesus Christ is righteous. It's right. And that's the only thing that's right. We're justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show, listen, this was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just, God, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, our Savior. This whole thing shows God's righteousness. It shows His justness. It shows He understands we are broken, sinful people, cannot save ourselves. And He says, this is right, this is just. I'm going to show you my justness. There has to be a penalty, a payment for this sin. There has to be. And you can't do it. Your blood is nothing. So this is right. My son will die. This is right. In former days, it says He passed over. So they have the Passover, right? Because the blood is on the doorpost. And the law, they killed the lamb or the goat or the pigeons, and it was the blood, and they had the Day of Atonement. That day where the priest went in and he passed over the sins of Israel because of the blood that pointed forward to the blood of Jesus. And so God in His righteousness saved them by faith in that blood, that he would provide a lamb like Abraham. That was righteous for him to pass over and save by faith those people who believed. And it's righteous today. It shows his complete righteousness, God's complete justice. When we couldn't do it, his son did it. And that is this. It's a total picture, is what this says. It says that the gospel is God's righteousness revealed. It says that the blood of Jesus, the only satisfaction for my sins, the only one, this is to show God's righteousness. This is right. And so he put forward his son for all who believe, all who believe, all who trust. His righteousness, not mine. Not mine. I'm not a good person. God is righteous. I'm not a good person. He sets the rules and the decrees. And he handed them to us and said, Here. Take it. I'm handing you a book full of righteousness and how you get righteous and how you stay righteous and how you come to me righteous. And it's totally reliable. It was given to us in righteousness and in reliable reliability, stable, secure. It's not going anywhere. Here. And if you believe that, if that is yours, would you drink this with me?
Good stuff.
How vain of it is of us to think we could ever live a good enough life to persuade God to bring us to Himself. Any of us. Envious, slanderous, haters of God, gossipers, malicious. How insane is it of us to ever think the righteousness of God in the blood on that cross is not enough. It is the righteousness of God. Psalm 119. So I have a few applications of the righteousness of God. Psalm 119, verse 139. After stating this, complete righteousness from God, he says, my zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promises well tried, and your servant loves it. I'm small and despised, and yet I do not forget your precepts. And he seems to be thinking about those who would forget God's righteous rules and the pointing of them and the depth of this. He says in verse 146 that your promises are well tried. It means they're well tested. They're refined. They're pure. There is no fine print here. There is no mountaintop. There is no really, really, really holy person you have to find to understand this. They're well, well refined and pure. Psalm 12:6 says they're refined like seven times. They're just pure. This is pure. And your servant loves it. I love your word. But I need us, just for a second, to really focus on verse 139. Focus on verse 139. My zeal, says this psalm writer, my passion, my emotions, I get all worked up. And it consumes me. It could just about take over my emotions. Why? Because my foes forget your words. My foes forget your words. Now think about that. What foes is he talking about? What foes, if this is David, if this is the king of Israel, if this is his foes, his adversaries, those pushing back, forget his words, forget the law. So it's probably not the Babylonians, you know what I'm saying? They have their own gods, a bunch of them. It's probably not the Assyrians, because they could care less. So it must be other Jewish brothers, like in 1 2 Samuel, when he had enemies within his own brotherhood of Israel, of Judea. It must be people who knew the law, who knew the Word of God, and yet were careless with it. They forgot it. And that's what this means. They forget it. It means it doesn't mean like, whoo, I totally forgot that. It means like I had that set out on the counter and I got busy doing some other things and I left for church and I forgot to bring it. It means I just got so preoccupied that with other things that I just forgot all about that. That's the forgetting. So these Jewish brothers became adversaries within their own brotherhood by forgetting the word, by being careless, negligent with the word. They left it behind and they just had their own purpose, their own calling, their own passions, their own desires, their own drives, and they forgot the word, and now he says, those are my foes. And he says, though I'm small and despised, I'm not forgetting your word. It's going with me. And you and I have to understand this righteous principle. When someone we know, our society or our family, when someone leaves behind the Word of God, they may soon become your adversary or your foe. They may be brotherhood. Maybe American, fellow American, maybe fellow cornerstoner. But when someone leaves behind the Word, the righteous Word, and they begin to just do good or do their plan or their agenda, and they leave the Word, they forget it. They're negligent, careless. Oh, got it. Man, I forgot a child one time. I got in my truck and forgot a child. Got so busy thinking, going, I forgot. I know I can forget the Word if I don't put it right there in front of my face all the time. How many churches today are leaving behind the Word of God, going off into the 6 o'clock news and culture, and they seem to be on the other side of the fence. And people are striving to go, no, they're your brother, no, they're your brother. And I'm saying, I know, I wish, I think, I hope, but they have forgot the Word of God and moved on in our following culture and community. And it really feels like it's church against church and Christian against Christian. And my foes are those who have left behind the Word of God. They've forgotten what it says. They've forgotten the righteousness of God and His rules and His appointing, and they don't see it that way. They just don't see it that way. And your foes are your own family, or your own church, your own neighborhood, because they've decided, I'm going that way. That's tough, isn't it? Man, stay in the Word of God. I am begging you. I am begging you. It'll hurt. It may hurt. Just walk with Him in the Word of God. No matter how small and despised you are, you may go to the family reunion and people kind of, yeah, there's that holier than thou. There's that really serious Christian. Man, never leave it. Be like this guy. I don't care how small and despised I become in my own brotherhood. I won't forget your word. I'm not leaving it. I'm not being careless with the Word of God. I'm not taking liberties with the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Pretty sure our ladies are got this one covered. He just explained how Jesus is so much better than angels. It's not even close. But everything that angels said was dead on. Everything angels said received a just reward or retribution. I mean, everything angel said was just bam. There it was. Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you name it. The angel at Jericho. Everything happened. But he says, now Jesus is so much more than angels. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And my foes have drifted away from the Word of God. And now they're on the other side. And it is very slowly, like a stream, they have just slowly, little by little, drifted away from the Word of God. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God Himself bore witness by signs and wonders and miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed, all according to His will, all appointed by Him. How shall we escape if we neglect what we've heard, if we neglect the Word of God, if we neglect His righteous Word? How will we escape? We won't. If you're a Christian by name only, by church attendance only, you're going to take the mark, because it's going to come so persuasively. If that day comes. Foes may have been our friends at one time, but they've left. For those of us who don't forget the Word, who understand it as the anchor and the rock and the foundation of my life and my salvation and my righteousness, this friction that we're feeling and seeing and sensing now can be a good thing as we draw back to the Word of God for hope and for healing and for direction. When we're confused, when we're not sure, well, that was a really nice person. Why are they going off there? What's going on? This friction we feel in our communities and across our nation can be a very good and helpful thing to drive people back to the Word of God for what actually is true. And it can become our joy and our delight no matter what. You always have it in your cupboard, no matter how difficult life is around you. Go to your cupboard called the Word of God and find your joy and your delight in the truth. I think, I'll embarrass my brother Ted there, in our little Bible study we do, as we've unearthed the book of Ecclesiastes, and Ted was sitting there one day and his eyes just went open and he just said, there's so much beauty in the Word of God. I'll never forget that. There's so much beauty in the Word of God. And you could feel and sense just the life igniting itself. Now, he's got a long way to go, right? Ted, you got a way to go yet? Yeah, me too. Me too, maybe you too. Maybe we got a long way to go together. But man, what a joy and a delight when the Word of God just leaps off the pages into your heart. And you go, boo! When the world seems to be crumbling around us or doing some crazy things, you are never without joy and delight. Run to the Word of God for your answers. So if we are told over and over and over and over not to neglect the Word of God, not to be careless with the Word of God, be careful how you read it, be careful how you digest it, be careful what you do with it, don't neglect it. How would we then? What is a good way for us to move forward, keeping the Word of God right here? To hear it, pay attention to it, don't be careless with it. How are we going to do that? What's a good way to do that? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think, is a gem of the Old Testament that tells us how to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may greatly multiply as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words, that I command you today shall be on your heart. How do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You put His words in your heart. And this is what you do. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down. And when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you with great and good cities you did not build. When you build all this stuff, and your son asks you in time to come, what's the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and grievous against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his household. You teach them to your children. You want to keep God's word in front of your face? You make it your family's word. You let your kids be your accountability partners first off. You put signs up in your living room and above the door where you walk in the house. And you and your kids, when you're out in the field or you're walking, you and your wife are having a conversation with coffee, you talk about the Word of God. Your family is the first stop for keeping the Word of God in front of you. And in the days to come, when you go into the land, they'll ask you, hey, Dad, what about this? And they will help you. Your family will be a great, great, great resource for helping us not forget the Word of God. My brain may get a little slow sometimes, but our kids' brains are not. They see everything. Man, it's just not you. It's your whole family. It's the Word of God. It's a family built on the Word of God. Your family's a great resource. Start there, and then come here, and then go wherever you're going to go. I want to show you a nuance before I go on. So I've told you a couple times now this morning, if this isn't in your face, if you're a Christian by name only, by church attendance only, and your good works, you'll take the mark. That's a big statement. But listen, where are you going to take the mark? Where's it say? Dave, where's the mark going to be? Do you know? On your hand? Your hand or your forehead? You will receive the mark of the beast on your hand or your forehead. I'm going to read this passage again. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. On your hand or on your forehead. It's the Word of God, or it's everything they stand for. You will have the Word of God on your hand or on your forehead, in front of your face, everything and everywhere, or they will put their mark on your hand or on your forehead. And it's too late. I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. I am begging you, crawl deep into this. Put it on your hand or your forehead, or they will mark you if that day comes. Use your family. Let your family be a just living, breathing organism for the Word of God, for promoting and accountability and growing together. Forever, forever will be a great resource for you to keep the Word of God in front of your face, on the doorposts of your house, wherever you go, on your cell phone, in your car, on the radio, in your lap at home at night while you're watching mindless television. Forever. Forever. Your eternity and mine. That's a big word. Is God's word forever? Is His righteousness forever? Are these words good for today? 2021? Is the appointment still true? Forever. Psalm 119, verse 142. Your righteousness, God, is righteous forever. And your law is true. Trouble and anguish may have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies, listen, verse 144, your testimonies, your word, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Give me understanding, Lord. I get it. Verse 142, your law is true. Your word is true. Your word is righteous. Your word is true. It comes from a word right here, Aman. And you get this word because you say it all the time. Amen. Your word is amen. So be it. It's nailed, it's fixed, it's not going anywhere forever. Lord, you are righteous forever. And your words, your truths, your decrees, your testimonies are righteous and just forever. If this planet lasts 200, 300, 1,000 more years, Jesus' words and His cross is forever. Never question that. Trouble may come and anguish may come like I can't even imagine, and things are changing like that. Warp speed, man. Our communities, our nation is changing. Click, 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 click. Trouble could come just like that. Man, I am begging us to be a church grounded and anchored in God's Word, because not only is He righteous and appointed, it is forever. It'll never change. It'll never grow old. It'll never be irrelevant. This is the truth forever. And our forever eternity is anchored on that. Never change. Never change. You are safe and secure forever when you are anchored right here in the just and righteous Jesus Christ and His cross and His word. You're safe. You're good. Forever. That's a pretty magnificent thing to say about our God in 8 verses, about His word, about His disseminating of it. It's completely right and it's completely forever. That's it. It's all you need. Call Comcast and cancel your subscription. No, you stay informed. You need to be informed of what's going on. But you, O Lord, you alone is what we seek. To you, O Lord, we look to you. Take a good look at your hand. Take a good look at your right hand. What you going to put on there? Word of God? Their mark. Something's going on there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, we like this psalmist. We cry to you, give us understanding. Your word is so true and right and just and forever. It's us that doesn't comprehend it. It's not you. So give us understanding. We're the ones wobbling about, easily persuaded. Lord, give us understanding, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.